The Government Operations Committee meeting to order. The time is 2:30. Roll call, please.
Congressman Keane?
Present.
Second Speaker Redcorn?
Here.
Congresswoman Rivard?
Here.
Speaker Shaw?
Present.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here.
Chair Goodfox?
Present. Congresswoman Redcorn, will you please say our afternoon prayer?
Yes, ma'am. Father God, I just want to thank you for this afternoon and this beautiful sunshine and this weather that you've given us today, Father. Father, I want to thank you for each of these people that are in this room today, Lord, that they're here and they are interested and they are connected and wanting to do good ways and do good things for our people, Father. And Father, I just pray that you you bless us as we go forward, that you give us clear heads and good thoughts and clear hearts, Father. Father, we love you and we thank you for everything that you do for us on a minute-by-minute basis, Lord. We need you every second, Father, and I pray that we remember that. Father, we love you, and I thank you for this day, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is approval of the journal.
Chair.
Speaker.
Motion to approve the minutes of September 10th, 2025 is presented.
Motion and a second. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed say no. It passes. Thank you. Without objection, this agenda, the way that it is on here, is not the order that we are going to go in. We've had to cancel session and meetings to take care of things for our members and for our districts. And instead of having the clerks rearrange a bunch of items, I just said leave it the way it is and add this and take this away. So without objection, we are going to start with item number 6, ONCR 2518, a resolution to approve the fiscal year 2020-2025 multi-year funding agreement between the Osage Nation and the United States Department of Interior, and to approve and incorporate amendments 5 through 9 into the agreement, and to reject and exclude amendment 10 from the agreement. And the sponsor is Congresswoman Whitehorn. And before I give the floor over to her, I have an announcement. This is the congressional meeting. This is the jurisdiction of the government ops, and I am the chair, and we will have order in this room. There is no more sergeant at arms in our building. I am the sergeant at arms. And if anyone speaks out of turn, I'm gonna ask you to leave. I'm just gonna say that right now. I'm not trying to offend anybody. If if you knew who I was raised by, my grandma, my mom, and all my aunts, then you're gonna know I don't beat around the bush. I want order. It's a hot topic, but we've also spent a lot of time on this. The resolution has been sent down from the Minerals Council that they oppose it. We are very divided as a nation with our shareholders, because I have heard from people that don't oppose it. And I've heard from a lot of people that do oppose it. I will say this, I believe that with that resolution that the Minerals Council sent down with all yes votes, that they don't want to do anything, they don't want a compact, they don't want a contract, That speaks volumes to me. I have had a conversation with the sponsor and said, it'd be a great idea for the Minerals Council on their next ballot in June, when they're getting votes in from the people that they're elected by, to have a question on there. And there's a way to do that. There's a way to do that. For them to get a temperature check from the people they serve to say, do we compact on this issue or do we not? And maybe it doesn't have any teeth by being law, but it does provide you with guidance. And as people are running for these 8 spots in June, maybe that's what they platform on. Maybe you have 15 people that sign up that say, I want to compact everything. And the people that want to do that, that's who they'll vote for. And maybe you have 20 people that say, I don't want to compact anything. And that's who they vote for. But the issue of us voting on something elected by people that don't have any business making a vote because they're not a shareholder, and maybe they won't ever be a shareholder, doesn't sit well with me. So I want to say that much. We are not going to spend a lot of time on this. We have budgets. Our rules say that these budgets and our programs and services and our employees and everything that we do here, those budgets come first. This just so happens to coincide with some of our budgets. And we have to address this in order to keep moving forward with other budgets that we have. And it's my intention to get this out of committee, and the members of this body can vote it up or down. But I don't want it sitting in this committee, not for one more day. I want us to have some conversation about it. And we're going to give this about 15 minutes. Not everyone's going to be allowed to get up and talk. We've got a full agenda. We've got a full agenda. So I'm going to turn the floor over to Congresswoman Whitehorn, and you have the floor.
I'll be brief in case there's other people that want to speak. But the reason I filed this bill is because of the resolution that the Minerals Council passed that said that they did not want to compact any way, shape, or form. The plans I've seen for compacting does not come from the body of the Minerals Council. It comes from the executive branch of the Osage Nation, and it's been sent over here to the legislative branch of the Osage Nation to make a decision about it. So that being said, I wrote the amendment with I wrote the resolution with Amendment 10 left out, which has minerals mining and probate. It wasn't my choice to, that was how the executive sent the Amendment 10 to us. That's why it's left out in its entirety. But the rest of them we are accepting for the self-governance plan. So I agree with everything that Congresswoman Goodfox has said. This, to me, should be a choice of our Minerals Council, the elected representatives of the shareholders. So that being said, I don't know anything else I can say. If anybody has a question, direct it to the chair, and she will judiciously see who answers it.
I'm going to open the floor up to the members of Congress that are on this committee first, and then second, the elected officials of the Minerals Council, and then third, we'll go from there. Susan, you're a secretary for executive, and I'm going to recognize you. So I'm going to start with Congressman King.
Thanks, Chair. So in the last meeting, we asked if we could delineate the probate part. So I have a two-part question. One, can we do that? And then two, I've recently become upon some information where if we did take the probate part, would we not have access to some important records, and would it be a big hurdle as far as dealing with restricted property? I know the AG's here and people from the up on the hill. If you guys could just provide an answer to that, thank you.
He directed that at you, Attorney General, so go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Congressman. I am not a compact expert, or that's why I leave this to Phil. But as my understanding, you can compact whatever you want to. You can, you know, take it or leave it type of deal. You don't have to take everything, and you could piecemeal out the probate function, but I could be wrong. There's better experts in here than I to answer that question.
Thank you.
Congresswoman Revard.
Okay, thank you. So we're, you know, I think everyone that was here last time heard my comments, and it's just my opinion. And again, with regards to probate, I do care what the Minerals Council, you know, what they're thinking about that program. I see that as if we were to take it, that it'd be an executive function under, I would prefer it under the AG's office, because I think it needs that expertise upon those documents and to help our people. Again, this goes back to our people that come to do, that want to come and that have to deal with probate. That's where I'm at in my mind. Is a, you know, either sometimes when you have to, you're subjected to probate, you're either a shareholder at that time or you're not, one or the other. So some, you know, when I first became, had to deal with probate, I was not a shareholder. I think that happened at a young age when I lost my dad. And so it, I think about 19 or 20 years old, I'm introduced to, hey, you're now could possibly be a shareholder. And with that did not include land. My dad didn't have land. So at that point, I'm only addressing to be a headright holder. That's where I was. I didn't understand. I didn't know what I was doing. I was too young. I had no idea. But it's kind of what Alice alluded to. If you guys knew my mother and my aunts and those women, they said, figure it out. You need to learn. This is your time. You have to figure this out because you are now entering into the world of being a shareholder. What does that mean? I didn't know. I had no idea what I was doing. And then I had an uncle, Paul's father, my Uncle George, was my dad's an executor of his estate. I didn't understand any of it. I do know the lawyers got paid a lot of money. I do know that. And that it took my brother and I years for that estate to be settled. We didn't have anything. My dad didn't have anything. We lived in a HUD home. We had nothing. But me and my brother, at the young age that we were, all of a sudden were introduced to this concept of being a shareholder. I had no guidance from my nation. None. I had to go talk to a superintendent I didn't know. He wasn't Osage. I had to go up there and talk to people that I did not know. I didn't understand it. There's no 101 when you lose your parent. So where I'm at this level is I want to help our people. I want to help these guys that have to go through this process. That's just, it's a lot. Culturally, as a shareholder, just going into dealing with things of this nature, it's hard. It's a sensitive subject, and I want to give it the respect it deserves for our people. Now, whether that sits under our Minerals Council and how they want it, I'm open to hear it, but I think we have to talk about it because it is a problem. Now, if the Minerals wants to sit here and say, we don't want to talk about it right now, Congresswoman Revard, not right now, next year, then okay. But I'm ready to fund that, to fund it to a degree where we can start educating, because I think we can. But I don't want to do it without the Minerals Council. As a congresswoman, I don't want to make a move without you guys. I don't think it's proper. But I also want you to be open-minded enough to at least talk about probate for our people. The other subject matters, they're tough too, but that's why we're here. We're elected by the people to talk about these things, but also in that is to educate. So let's talk about probate. Now, I'm sitting here with some smart people. I'm very proud to be sitting here with Mr. Trumbly. He's an Osage. We've never had that. An Osage superintendent? I feel pretty good about it. But I'm ready to have him educate on his side, his responsibilities. But I also want the Minerals Council to be open. I don't know why you guys voted no. That's, you know, I understand the complexity, but I don't understand on the probate piece. So I just like to talk about that subject matter myself. And but I also want to use this to educate on the other subject matters. I want to know more about what does that mean if we take over the other pieces. Doesn't mean we're doing it. I just want to talk about it. What does that mean? I think it's important that we understand the pros and cons of what's before us. I think it's smart. When we were in Missouri, as Osage people, we were the best. We were great people. We're great people now. We are educated people. We can sit at the table and make good decisions for our people, along with the federal government and the Department of Interior. But what does that look like? Well, I don't want them to take the lead. It's us. I want us to take the lead and tell them what we want. And then they fall in suit. That's where I'm at. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman Whitehorn. Did you have your hand up?
Well, just that we did have a pretty good conversation in government ops about the Attorney General's budget and what was in there to help with probate. And it's my understanding that's been taken out and it's something that we might address. I fully believe that we can do that probate function without a compact. We can start helping our people with the beginnings and helping them follow through on their probates through our Attorney General's office by a tribal appropriations, which was what it had turned out to be, because they're just offering us $13,000 for that function. So that can happen. That could have happened 10 years ago, but we're talking about it today. And I don't believe that it has to be included in the MIFA, that $13,000, to be able to do that. I am a proponent to help our people with that. So thank you.
I don't disagree with that. I think that helping our people in the area of probate through the Attorney General's office, if that's what executive and members of Congress that approve the budget believe that's the place that it needs to go. I don't believe that contracting or compacting is necessary in order to educate and help our people with probate. That is almost like one of the silliest things I've ever heard. And you're right, we could have been doing that for a long time, but we haven't. But we're here now, so that's good. I'm glad about that. I'm gonna see if there are any. We've never had this many Minerals Council members be at one of our congressional meetings, probably ever. So I'm going to open it up if there's any Minerals Council members that would like to speak, or if you have comment, go ahead. Stephanie, you just have to go to the podium and turn your microphone on, please, so that you're recorded.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today on probate. All I know is what I've lived through. I've been through four of them. And I think the best thing that's been said today is probate education. We need education, because every time I go and have had a different one to take care of, one's a probate that was a trust. Well, I've had three of them that way, and I had one that was intestate. They go to different courts. When you have a trust and there's anyone that goes in and tries to they don't agree, it goes to the IBIA panel. It's a court that they have up there further on up the line. And it takes a lot of time to go through this. And I will say this, I worked for an attorney one time, and he decided he wanted more money for the probate. And I think they have a formula that they go by that you get so much with whatever the estate's worth. Well, he wanted more money, and the superintendent granted them to him. Do you know that they kept all that money up there and kept it in the IIM account, because it was ready to be settled, so the attorney could finish getting his monies. Now, the attorney was hired by the people that were, you know, he was supposed to be representing, but it was more important for him to get his money. Do you see what I'm saying? So you're going to get all kinds of things from all kinds of people that object to everything that you do. But I think education is one of the most important things that you can do. I don't see actually with the money that's been offered to you on probate. I don't see you all compacting it, not right now. It's a very delicate subject when you're talking about people, especially with siblings, when the wills and the trust didn't go the way that they wanted it to. You know, my dad passed away, I don't know, in 2020, and in a matter of 4 months, it was settled. 6 months, we did distribution. Excuse me. Anyway, but it's because I knew what to do, and I still had problems with that. I couldn't get along with the probate clerk. And my late husband, Robert Sellers, she had erroneously lost some of our documents in that, and it drug on forever and ever. So every probate trust is different. I'm just saying these people need to be educated. And I agree with you, ladies. We need more education. Thank you.
Thank you. Susan, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Congress members, for allowing us to be here today. I'd like to take this time to recognize the people who have come. I know we only have 15 minutes, but I would like to recognize them on our side.
Well, you don't have 15 whole minutes, Susan.
I know, that's a whole, yeah, that's why I'm like.
We're a little past, but I'm gonna ask for action.
Okay.
Because we need to get out, and I want you to say what you need to say. You've come down here, and I wanna be respectful of that, and you got a couple of minutes, go ahead.
Okay. So I'd like to recognize Phil Bankershek. He's on Zoom. Lindsay Knowles as well. Clint is here. Mariah Thompson's on Zoom. Candy, Amy, and myself were in attendance. So we also provided a second packet to you guys, which I'm really excited to get into. But first, I would like to talk about in our Constitution, under the compact section, it states that all compacts with or submitted to the United States of America concerning Indian Health Services or BIA, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, shall be negotiated by the principal chief of the Osage Nation. And signatory authority subject to paragraph B, which is included, is reserved to the principal chief. So he is in charge based off constitutional law that he does the negotiations. So adhering to this, Chief has made several attempts to involve the Minerals Council in assuming the responsibilities from this negotiation, including in sending a letter on June 4th, expressing his desire for them on fully assuming self-governance functions that pertain to production, permitting, and leasing on the Osage Minerals Estate currently administered by BIA. This would be effective FY26. I'm going to go through the packet, that's included in the packet, and I think you guys already got an email from it. But on May 21st, Minerals Council signs a resolution number 5-229, which states they reject and oppose any attempt by the Osage Nation to amend its self-governance compact with the BIA. But based on constitutional law, the principal chief retains sole authority to negotiate such compacts. There are additional dates, and these are out either on social media, his inauguration speech back in 22, a press release that went out in August 4th, 2024. It was discussed when ONCA 2576 was requiring the MIFA to be approved by Congress. It was discussed when the negotiation dates would be, and then what the plan was. April 22nd, there was an executive meeting with various members of Minerals Council. May 12th and the 13th, negotiations were held. May 21st, Osage Minerals Council signs the resolution. July 4th, once again, Chief signs the letter sent to Minerals Council. So I know this is very passionate for everyone, so it needs to be determined where these responsibilities go. Do we want to self-govern ourselves? Do we want to exert sovereignty? Because there are three options that are on the table for us to discuss. Do these functions and the funding remain with the BIA, which we all know needs improvement, is dysfunctional, and needs assistance in moving the laws as well as the processing and everything like that, including educational pieces. Offered to Minerals Council, as Chief has already done multiple times, and Minerals Council rejects and opposes it, or let the Osage Nation take on these responsibilities, who we provided packets and information, and when I go through it, you'll see education pieces to it as well. And that will be a segue into the packets that were provided to you guys. So on tab one, I'll be quick, provides a timeline of self-governance. So this lets you know from the very first in 2005, Tribal Council applied to the Department of Interior, and then this is where we got the application approved for having self-governance funds. Then it goes into, in 2006, which departments or functions that we come in, that we assumed and we took over. Law enforcement, JOM, Roads Department, our 477 program, our membership, tribal government programs, tribal court, social services, Indian child welfare, welfare assistance, and the housing improvement program. As Ross talked about earlier today, in 2011, we assumed wildland fire. And then in 2016, we assumed some of the functions for real estate services. Tab two, we have created a transition plan. When we are going to assume these, if it gets pushed to the floor, minerals and probate for both of them, where those will be, where those functions will be, the what we're going to be assuming, who's going to be responsible for those. This lets you guys know real estate services functions they'll be assuming, what's going to be still retained at the BIA, what functions will be assumed from natural resources, and then supporting docs, and it just goes on to show you what our transition plan looks like.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair, will Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So I'm trying to look up the code right now, but what Secretary Barrow quoted is not constitutional language. It's Osage Nation code that she was reading from. And it also, the last clause of it says that any compacting that pertains to the minerals estate should be accompanied with a resolution of the, an affirmative resolution of the Minerals Council. That's code. It's not constitutional language. I wrote the code, so I know I didn't put it in the Constitution. So I wanted to be clear on that. And I think that's Osage Nation law that we have to, that we all have to abide to, by abide by minerals, Congress, and the executive branch. So that's all I wanted to say right there.
Okay, thank you. Congresswoman Rivard.
So I have a question, so forgive me, because again, I'm trying to use this as a avenue to educate myself. This may be to Mr. Trumbly or Mr. Patterson. So in my career as an elected official, a lot of times what I've noticed is that if you start off with an agreement, you know, then you meet at the table, you talk about that agreement, you execute, you implement, and then sometimes you negotiate at certain time periods. But sometimes those partners don't get back to the table because, yeah, they're words that draw you together to partner, but I, in my career, I feel like when money's discussed and on the table, that strengthens your partnership. So my question is, if we leave that money with the Bureau as it is, does it help our constituents that currently have probate issues or those forthcoming? So if we sit here and we say we do not want that money, how does it fix the problem? Because I'm also hearing a lot of the issues are in areas that we have no control over. But what I see now, and I may be wrong, if Chief Standing Bear makes a call and says, I want to know about what's going on with probate, nobody really has to answer him. I mean, they really don't, but if there's money tied to it, like it is our other programs, real estate services, social services, general assistance, then he has a place at the table. He has a way that he can call and go, guess what? We have an agreement, and actually there's money involved. I want to know, if we leave that money on the table, does it help our people or hurt them as far as our reach goes and our authority? Is it strengthened or is it lessened?
Go ahead, Attorney General.
Thank you, Chair. For your question, leaving that money on the table would not do anything for what I want to do with probate. It's $16,000 to $22,000, and in the overall scheme of things, that's not going to be enough to move the needle on one side or the other. This is government-government situation. It's not a private party situation where when you put money down, you have a cause of action for breach of contracts. So what I want to do is work on the probate functions that we can currently do without compacting, and that includes getting an attorney that would represent the Osage people in state court as the law currently sits, and doing the Intervivos Trust, and I understand that might be a point of contention too, but that's what I would like to do. So, and that would just require an appropriation from Congress and a small tweak to the Attorney General law. So leaving that money right now is such a small amount, I don't think it would make any difference.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Thank you, Attorney General.
Thank you. All right, I said 15 minutes and we're at 30, so the chair is going to either entertain any motion for the bill, or we're gonna postpone it and we're moving on to another agenda item. That's where we're at. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I move to report ONCR 2518 to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
Second. Motion and a second. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. It passes and will be reported to Congress with a due pass recommendation. Thank you.
Congresswoman, can I tell the audience here what's going to happen with this next, because a lot of them don't know our process. I'll be brief.
Go ahead.
So she'll report this out of committee the next session day, which is Monday. She reports it to the floor of Congress with our committee's recommendation, and then it can go general order day 1, 2, 3, and then to third reading. It can go various many other ways, but it will be reported out of committee Monday onto the floor of Congress. Then it's the bodies of Congress. There will be no other avenue or venue to have open meetings where you guys can discuss. You can come to our sessions if you like, but there will be no more open discussion where you'll be recognized. Thank you, Congresswoman. I appreciate it.
Chair, I'm sorry, but you didn't offer a discussion with the motion that was made. And so I want to be a no vote on moving it out.
You can do that.
Thank you.
We don't need, you don't have to have discussion in order to vote no, though. So it's, we can have discussion, but that's when the point of order comes before the vote.
Well,
so,
okay. So
that's fine.
It just went really quick.
Yeah.
And I'm a no vote to getting it out right now, because just of what Miss Maria said was that we don't get to do this again. We're removing this discussion will not come back into this committee to discuss the other options.
Correct.
I mean, she's right. That's what she's saying, guys. This is it. And I'm not ready for that. And I've got shareholders that want to know about the other subject matters. We're just talking about probate. So when are we going to talk about the other subject matters in that bill or that resolution?
Well, I feel like we talked about it in the last meeting for over an hour. It actually took the whole meeting, so I think it was over.
We talked about the compliance piece. I don't remember that in detail.
We talked about, yes, we did. We talked about compliance. We talked about minerals. We talked about probate. There was a lot of discussion in that first meeting. I feel like good discussion. And this is where we're at. We have a no vote. We have a lot of people in the small space. I don't know if everyone that is here is wanting to stay for this full agenda or not, because we have budgets to look at. We have some non-tribal, we have tribal. And so without objection, I'm going to recess this for a few minutes. So those people that don't want to stay here for the rest of this meeting till 5 o'clock can go ahead and excuse themselves. And because we've got people all across this room. So without objection, we're in recess for 4 minutes. And if those people that want to excuse themselves from the meeting, now is the time.